Dead If You Don't, by Peter James. Read by Daniel Wayman. The small white ball skittered over the numbers on the spinning roulette wheel, passing 36, 11, 30. Tappity-tap, tappity-tap. It ricocheted off a diamond-shaped bumper. Tappity-tap. Danced, rattling around the rim, hopping over the numbers 12, 35, 3, and catapulting back onto the rim. Kip Brown watched it in silent concentration. His nerves were tightropes. This was the moment, as the rotation steadily slowed, the moment when time froze. "No more bets," the croupier announced, like a recording on a timed loop. It was pretty pointless. Kip had no more left to bet. It was all there in those neat towers of chips spread across the bays, covering his regular numbers, his lucky numbers, and a couple of random ones too. All there. The school fees, the mortgage, the higher purchase payments on his cars. Tappity-tap. The dumb ball had no idea just how much was riding on where it landed, no knowledge of just how much money Kip Brown, the only punter at this table on the high-value floor, had bet on this spin of the wheel. It didn't know just what this particular spin of the roulette wheel meant to Kip, nor did the bored-looking female croupier. So much was riding on just six of the 36 black and red numbers. So much. It was a perfectly formed ceramic ball, less than 1 inch in diameter. It had no brain. It had no knowledge that the man at the table, watching it the way a buzzard watches a field mouse from 200 meters high, had bet the ranch on numbers 2, 4, 15, and their neighbors. No idea at all. No idea that, until recently, Kip Brown had been one of the wealthiest men in the city. That on a July night last year, he had walked away from this casino with over £1 million of winnings, the biggest sum anyone had ever won in a single night at Brighton's waterfront casino. Nor did it know that since then he had lost it all again on the very same tables. That in recent months, with his judgment skewed from the stress of his mounting debts and his train crash of a personal life, he had bet and lost all the equity in his house, his business assets, pretty much everything. 2, 4, or 15. Please. Tappity tap. The ball rolled into number 2, then out again. He sat anxiously nursing his drink. It was gone 11 p.m. and he should have left hours ago. He had to drive Mungo to school tomorrow morning and go straight on to an early meeting with a new, potentially large client. He should be home, getting rest. His eyes were bleary. His brain was tired, exhausted from chasing losses all evening, but he couldn't help it. The wheel would come good eventually. It always did. Always had. Hadn't it? If you stayed at the table for long enough.